praise you. God, we magnify you. Amen. The name above every name. Amen. The name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Amen. That Jesus is Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. Amen. Blessed be the one that, amen, washed my sins away. Blessed be the name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Our God. We have people in the room with life-threatening illness, and they're asking God to touch them and go with them. I believe God wants to do that. Would you, if you can, stand with me? Would you put your hands up and pray for them? I'm not going to point them out. Not trying to make an obstacle of them. Amen. But God would heal. They're here asking for prayer. Hallelujah. Name above all names. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. The one that was and is to come. The Almighty God. Hallelujah, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God, I pray you would step into this room. Heal bodies, God. Amen. I pray your anointing would go in front of us. God, that you would go in front of us. Amen. Give doctors wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Amen. But you're the ultimate healer, God, and we thank you, amen, for a spirit of healing in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. I'm not in a big hurry to move forward quite yet. Amen. Join hands with somebody right where you're at. Amen. Everybody all over the building, come on, one more time. I want us to pray together. You don't know what people are facing around you. You don't know what fears, uncertainties are in their life. Amen. Come on, let's pray that God would be with our neighbor. God would be one standing with us today. Amen. God, you're able to overcome. Amen. You're able to lead us to solid ground. God, you're able to lead us to peace. God, you're able to lead us to safety. I pray in the name of Jesus. God, let there be a spirit of community here. Amen. A God community, a family of God here right now. In the name of the Lord. God, that you would minister and we would minister to each other. God, that your spirit would bring safety and peace. In the name of the Lord. God, healing, touch hearts and minds. Amen. Calm people's spirits, God, in the name of the Lord. God, I praise you. I pray in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, you are our good shepherd. You lead us beside still waters. You restore our soul. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. Blessed be the name of our God. In Jesus' great name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a spirit of the Lord here right now. Amen. My. Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Praise our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Scripture says that there's a spirit, a gifting of the spirit of tongues, that someone would speak out by the Spirit of God, and then there's a spirit of interpretation where someone would come along and explain it. Because how can we know unless we understand? And so God, through faith, speaks in an unknown language and then gives someone an interpretation of that tongue. You may not be familiar with that, but that's what Scripture calls for. And in Paul says, actually, in his own private prayer, that he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. He was talking to the Corinthian church, which had some disorder about themselves when it came to tongues. And he was not negating tongues. He was promoting the gift of the Spirit and the gift of tongues. Amen. So I'm very thankful that that operates. And if you didn't hear in the back, the interpretation at first was given, amen, that God is here. You don't have to be afraid. Amen. And he's here for you. Amen. He's here to answer your prayers and your needs. And that's one of my topics that I was going to preach on today, is God is here. And God hears you. And I believe in a confirmation of the Spirit of God. Amen. So I want to preach to us for a few minutes. God bless you. You may return to your seats. In the name of the Lord. I feel God in this place. It's amazing what God can do when you believe. It's amazing what God won't do when you won't believe. It's never God's capacity that's at question. Let me say that again. It's never God's capacity that's in question. It's always our capacity for what we can believe. Jesus went to his own hometown, and I used this example a few weeks ago. I'm using it again. I realize that. My wife accuses me sometimes of just repeating yourself. You're just randomly repeating yourself. I'm not. I'm with a purpose. I'm repeating this. That he went to his hometown, and he came out, and he said that there just weren't mighty miracles done in Nazareth. It just didn't believe I could. And then he added, now listen, and then he added, only a few were healed. Only a few had life-changing events. But only a few. Now, most church services, at least most church services that I've attended, if you have a handful of mighty miracles, I'd say that's a pretty good day in church. But Jesus was used to everybody coming and everybody being healed. You know, the Bible only contains a small portion of what Jesus did. Just, I mean, it really, if you count the pages in your Bible, it may be 100 pages. There may be 100 pages in your Bible that cover what Jesus preached, what he taught, what he did. And the Bible says, and he healed all. At many events in his life, he healed all their diseases. It mentions one disease, a blind man got healed, or a deaf man got healed, or a crippled got healed, and then it concludes that day with he healed all their diseases. Wouldn't you love to have a list of all the diseases that he healed in a single day? I've thought that would be so cool. On a single Sunday, how many people got healed? On a single Sunday, how many people's hearts were changed? God spoke into their mind and made a difference in their life. On a single Sunday, amen, what can God do in a single day? He can only do what we can believe him for. Amen. So I want to believe God for awesome, majestic, powerful, amen, life-changing things. I actually want to believe God for awesome, powerful, life-changing preaching. But I'm here today, so let's do what we can, amen, with who you've got, all right? I want to preach from 2 Corinthians 5:19. Would you join me? Looking on the screen behind me. To wit, that God was in Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. This is the great grand part that matters so much to us. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That means reconnection. That means restoration. That means renewal. That means replacement of sin with righteousness, of hopelessness with hope. Amen. That because he came, died, buried, and was resurrected, amen, he created the opportunity. He created the opportunity. He did not come and save all mankind, but he came and gave the opportunity for all mankind to be saved. And his goal is that all mankind would be saved. Everybody, amen. Everybody. You included. Everybody. There's nobody outside of everybody. Do you know anybody that doesn't fit in the category of everybody? Amen. I don't know anybody that doesn't fit. I don't know any person, any disease, any sickness, any sexual identity, any whatever you'd say that isn't in the category of God wanting to save everybody. I believe God wants to save everybody. But the mystery is that God was in Christ. I want to explore that just a minute, because once you realize who he is, it just changes everything. Once you realize what he came to do, it really is revolutionary for your soul. You see, some people... Can I preach to you? I'd like to say before I get started, thank you very much for my birthday. This is a suit you bought me. So, very kind of you, but I'm going to let it go for just a second, because, man, I just feel God in this place. Amen. I feel like God wants to do something. The Bible tells us that we ought to, listen to me, here's something you can do, that you ought to think on these things, that you ought to take time in your day, in your morning, in your evening, to think about the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the power and the loving kindness, amen, and the extreme mercy of God that loves you. Your enemy would like to tell you something else, anything else, that God's not there, that he's not present, that he doesn't care, that he's not engaged, he's not involved, that the church is no good, that people are good, that people are this, that, or the other, or you've been mistreated, and so everybody's going to mistreat you. You've been misunderstood, and everybody's going to understand you. I'm here to declare that there is one that created you, that knows you better than even you know yourself. Amen. And he is the mighty God that was in Christ Jesus, that came to die for your sins. Amen. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now that's almost just plain repetition, but it says it again. God was manifest in the flesh. What does that mean? That means God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not a part of God, not a piece of God, not a third of God, not a quarter of God, not a tenth of God, but God. Amen. He was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said, amen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. For the Father is the one in me that does the work. Corinthians and Romans talks about, amen, that God in you is the hope of your glory. So the Spirit that was in Christ dwell inside of you. So you have the opportunity to have that same Spirit that was in God to dwell inside of you. You have the opportunity to have the Spirit that was in Christ dwell inside of you. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, in our class upstairs, we asked the question, what's fullness? And we had a short discussion. What's fullness? What do you feel? What do you feel? What do you feel? This is the same response my class gave me. Fill what? What are you talking about? What do you fill? A bucket. How full can you fill a bucket? Till it overflows. He was full of God. Amen. All the fullness, that ever bit that is God. All the mercy, all the grace, all the goodness, all the kindness, all the holiness, amen, all the righteousness, all the judgment, amen, all the perfection was in Christ. The Bible actually says there was no guile found in his mouth. He never said, a single cuss word. He never got in the donkey traffic and began to berate the donkey driver next to him. Began to throw down. The old woman don't know how to drive a cart. Get out the way, woman. Get out the way. Never said that. He never said, where'd you get your license? Walmart? Get out of the way. Never said that. He never pulled a gun.
He never got out a whip because you were in his way. Come on, get out of my way. I'm in a hurry. Get out of my way. I got to go heal the blind. Get out of my way. I got things to do, places to go, bodies to raise from the dead. Get out of my way. He never said anything like that. No guile found in his mouth. Why? Because he was God. Perfect, holy, righteous God. There was a graphic I've shown us several times through the last few years of how many times the New Testament, if you don't know this, you need to know this. How many times did the New Testament authors refer to the Old Testament? I heard a preacher, well-known big church preacher, say one time, the Old Testament has no value. But if you look, almost all of the New Testament is built on the Old Testament. If the Old Testament is not accurate, then the New Testament, they're just preaching fairy tales. They're just making stuff up. But those guys were raised Jewish, believed Jewish, and preached the Jewish principle. There was no New Testament for at least 100 years after Christ. They preached from the Old Testament. They reached back and they found Christ in the Old Testament. And so they preached Christ, and the New Testament is made up of defining what the Old Testament meant. And it was fleshed out by Jesus Christ. You can see the Old Testament and everything that Jesus Christ is. And everything that he did. The Bible says he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Where do you get the idea of a lamb slain? A lamb slain is very clearly in the Old Testament. It was the sacrifice for all Israel's sin. One time a year, they would slay a spotless lamb and offer its blood on the mercy seat one time a year. Everything about Jesus Christ is built on the Old Testament. Let me preach. Isaiah 7 and 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7 and 14. Matthew 1, 23 says, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That is a direct quote from the Old Testament in the New Testament, defining who Jesus is. He was God with us. Isaiah 9:6 says, he's a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It's a definition from the Old Testament that directly gets applied to Jesus Christ. Exodus 3:14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am sent me unto you. The I am is literally applied by Jesus, John 8 and 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. He was claiming that the God that appeared in a fiery, burning bush to Moses, he was claiming the title of the God that stood in the fiery bush. And he said, that's who I am. Amen. I'm not a new God. I'm not a new idea or a new principle. I've been teaching you about me all along. And then Jesus claims, I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the true vine. I am of Exodus is the I am of Jesus Christ. Who do you serve? You serve the Almighty God. Who died for you? Jesus Christ. Who was God manifest in the flesh. Not a part of God, not a piece of God, not a little bit of God, but God manifest in the flesh. He had the Father in him. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. In John 16, Jesus turned around and said, now look, I'm coming to you. Amen. The spirit that's within me is a spirit that's coming to you. I'm coming to you. So you literally can say, when you have the Holy Ghost, I have Christ in me. I've got the spirit that was in Christ is inside of me. And the same power and the same anointing is available to me. I believe when I ask you to lay hands on each other or hold hands and pray together, it's not a random thing that we do. It's not a Pentecostal cultural thing that we do. But we believe the word of God with laying on of hands on the sick. They shall recover, the word of God says. I believe you can lay hands on somebody and pray for them in Jesus' name and they be healed. We've seen cancer healed. Casey, I mentioned him last week. Amen. Healed of cancer 2 or 3 years ago. God's able to heal. And I don't care what the doctors say. Amen. They said Matt's dad had 1 to 6 months to live. And he went back. Matt called me, I think it was Saturday morning, and said his blood markers when he first went in were sky high. His liver was failing. His cancer markers were extremely high. They took a blood test either Thursday or Friday this week. He got the results back, and the results are his liver is level, equal with an average man. It is not out of whack in any form. Amen. It is normal. He's got a normal liver by the doctor, by a blood test. Amen. God has returned without treatment. Listen. They gave up on his dad. They were putting him in hospice. They had assigned him to hospice. And he was in the hospital a week or two ago, and hospice wanted to get him. Amen. They said, well, you need to be in hospice, and you need to do this and this, and we're going to put you in a hospice place. And Matt said, no, you're not. We've been praying for him. And they said, well, that happens all the time, but we're going to put him in hospice. And he said, no, we're not ready to put him in hospice, because after we prayed for him, he felt completely different the next day, and God has been improving him ever since. I don't know if he's completely healed, but I believe in a God that can completely heal him. Amen. And I believe doctors will end up saying what God has done in his life. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen. They healed everyone that came to Jesus. I've never had everyone that came for prayer get healed. I can't wait till that starts happening. What would it take to raise a man from the dead after 4 days? See, sometimes you act like, well, I've never seen that. I don't know. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ got up from the dead 4 days later. Now, if you don't think he's got power over cancer or sickness or disease, he's got power to get a dead body 4 days old, amen, the blood to flow, the heart to pump, and the brain to work, and raise it back to life. Let's quit thinking with your brain and think with God's brain for a minute. Amen. He looked down and saw a 4-day dead body, and he said, I can fix that. And to blow you away a little bit further, we had one of our students read in the class, amen, he also raised the dead Old Testament saints. And they came into Jerusalem. What a day it would be. We've got some dead saints around here. I don't mean... There might be a few of you in the audience today. Just a little bit more dead than you need to be. I think what you meant was, raise them back to life, God. That's what you meant. But Jesus, when he came out of the grave, come and help me, this whole row, come and help me. Jesus didn't come up out of the grave by himself. The Bible says he went into death, hell, and the grave, and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And then he said, boys, ladies, it's time to get up. And when he came back walking on the earth, he brought some folks with him. Amen. He didn't show up by himself. He brought some dead saints from the Old Testament. Who'd he bring? The Bible doesn't say, but it could be Moses, Methuselah's wife, whatever her name was, I don't know. Fred, Sam, Ted, I don't know who all brought back, but they showed up in Jerusalem. Boy, you'd get a shock 4 days after I'm dead. I came walking into church with all the saints that used to go to church here, and they came around and started shaking hands. Hey, praise God, I've been dead 25 years. Good to see you. Amen. Can I sit with you? I've been dead 38 years. I'd like to be back in church. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that. The Bible says that. Now, what I'm trying to get you to do is not think normal. Quit thinking with your brain. Quit thinking about the problems you've got or how big the trouble is. Amen. What I want you to think in this message is, how big is our God? How big is His majesty? How big is His power? How big is His glory? If we live for that God and we serve that God, then what can that God do in our lives? What can that God do in your life? Amen. There's not one thing that you've got that God can't cover. There's not a bill that He can't pay. There's not a disease that He can't heal. Amen. There's not a problem that He can't change. There's not a heart that He can't wash. There's not a sin that He can't forgive. Amen. We serve the God of gods, the God of creation, the God that lives and reigns. When I think about His goodness, when I think about the glory of God, boy, I could just get lost here for a minute thinking about. Do you ever sit around and think about how big God is? That voice in your head before you ever came to church, that was God. That one calling you to be better than you were, calling you to live holier than you are, calling you up, amen, to be a man of God or a woman of God, amen. That was not fried green tomatoes. That was not spoiled eggs that you ate. That was not old bacon that you ate. Amen. It was God speaking to you in the midnight hour, in the morning time, at lunch one day. Amen. God's calling you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. God's reaching for everybody. Everybody. Isaiah 45:23. I've sworn by myself that unto me every knee shall bow. I've seen hard-headed people. I know a few. I'm not pointing you out today. But I know a few hard-headed people who would never think that they were going to bow. Dave Stokely, I love you so much. Amen. Your testimony is such a... He was an atheist, an engineer atheist. What a combination. They know it all, and they know it all. It's the truth. Every atheist you ever met, they know every reason not to believe in God. I heard a preacher say, you know, the thing about atheists is they believe nothing. Created everything. The invisible, unsearchable, unknowable nothing. Do you know what nothing is? Nothing. I believe in an almighty something that science doesn't know, you can't see, touch, taste, or smell, and that something created everything. Now, I don't know which side you would land on, nothing creating everything, or something majestic creating everything. But I tell you what, I'm always going to land. Because when an atheist dies, what does he do? He goes back to nothing. That's what they believe. They go back to nothing. Their creator. They believe they came from nothing, and they go to nothing. So they believe they came from their creator nothing, and they're going to the creator nothing. I kind of have a similar belief. I believe in everything. Amen. God created everything, and I believe someday when I die, I'm going to go to everything. Amen. Who owns everything? He owns everything. Amen. And is in charge of everything. I'd much rather believe in a God that I see today heals cancer, heals disease, heals heartache, heals pain in your mind, pain in your spirit, pain in your soul, and he takes all of that away and gives you peace. Brother Hunt sitting in the back right there, I'm preaching about you. God picked you up and change your whole mind. He told me, I just think different. I'm just such a different person after God got a hold of my life. And that was that 6 months ago? About 6 months ago. Amen. And now he thinks different, walks different, talks different. His son says he's different. His wife says he's different. Amen. God washed it. You guys can sit down. Amen. I'm not a God that washes the whole life. Amen. All the sin, all the wrong done to you, all the wrong people have done to you. Amen. God gives you power to overcome all of that hurt, all of that pain, all of that agony, all of that anger. Amen. I have sworn by myself again that every knee shall bow. Amen. If you don't do it now, you'll do it someday. Philippians 2, 10, 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Preached in the Old Testament and the New Testament says that's who he is. Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And then Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 12:41 said, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Amen. In context, he's talking about Jesus. He's telling you, amen, that God that the prophet saw in the glory. I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. His train, it's an image of God in heaven. His train filled the temple. The idea of a king's train being dragged around in that particular culture, they would cut off the king's robe of the defeated king, and they would sew it at the back end of the king that won. And so every time he won a battle, there's another stripe added to the train that drug along behind the king, and another train that drug along behind the king. And the Bible says his train. Wow. If you could take and list out on your train the things that God has defeated in your life. Amen. And we began tacking what God has overcome in your life, amen, to what God has overcome in my life and what God overcame in his life and her life and their life, amen. And you started putting it on his train, and then all of a sudden you looked up and seeing God, amen, his train would fill this tabernacle right here. This room here would be filled with the victory of the Almighty God. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the angels surrounded him and shouted to him, glory, glory, glory
If I could just get you to see Jesus, if I could get you to look up and see who He is and what He has done. Amen. Who walked on the waters, who healed the sick, who came, took a cat of nine, or a whip, made a whip out of random pieces of leather, drove out the money changers, and said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer. Where I am, people are going to have prayers answered, ways made." Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and verse 21. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." Verse 21. "For He had made Him to be sin for us." Jesus became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That by His blood being applied to my life, we get made righteous. Not my righteousness. The Bible says my righteousness is as filthy rags. But that great victorious robe, amen, covering His pure white garment, spotless. He takes some of His spotless garment, comes down to us, and takes off our old tattered garments, our old anger and bitterness and sin, hatefulness, lust, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He washes us in His blood. And then He clothes us. He puts His righteousness He clothes us, not with my goodness, not with my sincerity, not with my servanthood, not with my goals, things I've accomplished, but He puts His spotless robe on my shoulders, and He robes me with Himself. Now listen, John 17 and 3 said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." John 14 and 23, "If a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him. He will come unto him and make our abode in him." That we are going to live inside. Now, my last verse, Colossians 1:27. And then the last part of it, it's going to be Christ all that goodness, all that power, all that love, all of that mercy, the one who willingly died on the cross for our sin, that's Christ in you. You've got power that you can't see. God is living inside of me. Wish I could sing the rest of it, but you now
You
have the great God. Stand with me, would you? Every head bowed, please. Let me tell you, there's someone I really hate. I hate the liar that says you're not good enough. I hate the liar that says you're not perfect enough. I hate the liar that says God's not listening to your prayers, that God's not there, that God doesn't care. You're going to tell me the God of gods, the creator of the world, who planned to come and die for every man's sin, doesn't care about you? The God that could wash away every single sin is not going to wash yours? I hate the liar that keeps you from the opportunity to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't know your heart. I don't know everybody in the room. I don't know every heart in the room. But if your heart is telling you, He's talking to me, then I'm going to agree. God's been talking to you. God knows you. God loves you. God reaches for you. How do you get to God? Well, remember I quoted the verse, every knee shall bow? In the end, if you have an unbowed knee, God will make every knee bow. But the opportunity is here today that you bow your knee. That you come, and I don't necessarily say you have to get down on your knees, but you come with that approach to God. God, I can't do it myself. God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. God, I need you to fill me. Amen. I want the God of the whole Bible that planned the whole thing out to save us. God, to live in me. God, and I open myself to let you do that. I'm asking you to do that. I'm believing God. Remember, we started by it's what you can believe God for. And I want to ask, who can believe God for the idea that He wants to fill your life? Come on, let's just go for that faith right there. I can believe God wants to fill me. He hasn't done it yet. I don't feel like that's been accomplished in my life. But God, I want you to do that. I'm going to open up the altar. Amen. I'm going to invite you to step out. I'm not asking for dirty, rotten sinners to come to the altar. I'm asking for anybody that wants a little bit more of God to do a work in their life. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So why don't we just make it that? Amen. All over the building, wherever you're at. Amen. You don't want to come forward? Okay, that's fine. Amen. But right where you're at, why don't you make that a house of prayer? Amen. If there's weakness, God, I need strength. Amen. If there's lack, God, I need filling. Amen. God, I want you to do that work inside of me. In the name of the Lord. Come on in. Come on in. Everybody fill up. Step forward just a little bit. Let people come in behind you. Amen. Step forward a little bit. In the name of the Lord. Amen. There's opportunity. Amen. We're going to make from the back door to the front altar a house of prayer. Amen. My house will be called a house of prayer. Don't you ever go out of this place and say we didn't give opportunity for people everywhere to open up and lift up their voice and pray. Amen. God, do a work inside of me. Amen. God, move inside of me. God, I pray that your spirit would move inside of the people around me. Fill me, God. Fill me, God. Make me in the name of the Lord. Now we're going to pray. Amen. And we're going to pray with some folks. If you want to be prayed for, amen. We're going to pray with you. If you don't, just tell us in the name of the Lord. Amen. We'll go. There's somebody that wants God to do a work in their life. In the name of the Lord. So I invite you to step out at any moment and come and help us pray. In Jesus' great name. Amen. In the name of the Lord. God, we need your spirit to do more than we can do in our flesh. Amen. God, I pray we lift our heart. We lift our spirit to you, oh God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Not by my might, not by my spirit, God. Amen. But by your hand, I pray.